Welcome to Simply Us, a podcast by Robin Victoria Tiedemann,
where we talk about life, marriage, minimalism, and everything fun. We're at episode 18. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Rob. It's nice to have you back. You, as in the people listening, not you.
The podcast links.
You're obviously here all the time.
Yeah. We had a rough night, though, last night.
Yeah, we did. The boys were up roughly every half an hour vomiting from, what, like 8 o'clock
until
about 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So, needless to say, we didn't get very much sleep. Fortunately, today was my day off from work, though, so...
You can relax a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the boys will be able to catch up a little bit, and I don't have to worry about being exhausted from being up so much last night.
They're laying down.
Yep.
So if we're a little groggy or whatever, it's because we're running on hardly any sleep.
Yeah.
I think I got 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah. I got a little more. I know I think I actually got up at about 7:15.
Mm.
So four and a half hours, maybe. So yeah.
That's still not a lot.
No, it's not.
That's all right. We'll rest a lot.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're not here today to tell you about our woes with sick children. We're actually here to talk about the season that we find ourselves in, and all of us find ourselves in, not just the two of us, but we are coming up into the whole Christmas holiday season. And I know Christmas isn't the only holiday, but that's the one that
a lot of people
focus on a lot, especially in consideration of things like consumerism. And that's really kind of where we want to go today. We want to talk a little bit about fair trade and what fair trade means, a little bit of stuff about slavery / human trafficking and what kind of repercussions your purchasing choices can have with things like that.
Mm.
We know this is, again, it's a little bit different of a gearing in our subject matter than we kind of normally talk about.
Well, it has a lot to do with minimalism to me.
No, I think it does too.
Yeah.
Which is why we're including this, because it did have an effect on our transition into being minimalists.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely worth talking about.
Yeah. So I'm going to start off by just telling you about a little bit of what human trafficking is in case you're new to it. If you already know about it, we're not going to talk a lot about it. It's just going to be some updated statistics, basically. Now, when I found out about human trafficking, it said the estimated amount of people that were enslaved was 27 million.
Mm-hmm.
It is upped.
I'm sure.
Last year, according to Walk Free, the Global Slavery Index, and International Justice Mission, now they all are really, really heavily into research and working side by side with rescue missions or restoring people. And they're pretty much the biggest in the world. And they say, they each have different numbers, so I'm going to give you an estimate of what they all say. They say 40.3 to 45.8 million people are in slavery today.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to the smallest number that I gave you, 40.3 million people that are enslaved, you could get from that 25 million that are put into forced labor. So what's forced labor?
Any kind of thing where you are told to do a job, often without pay or penalty of some kind of a punishment.
Or a little
doing all kinds of... Or a little pay, yes. Yeah. Underpaid.
Yeah. This usually involves coercion, bonded labor, things like that. So, say, for instance, we lived in India, and maybe our grandparents were put into slavery, and we were born to our parents, who were also born into a bricklaying type of company.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no way out. That's just what we have to do. We started working at 5 years of age, mm-hmm. you know, making bricks. And it's just because we have to pay off the debt that our grandfather had, because they were maybe told, oh, well, I'll give you this if you work for me, but then they put you in and then you've got interest. And basically, they lied to you and said, no, you still owe us this much. So that's indentured service, and mm-hmm. it's one of the worst and biggest ways that we're seeing labor trafficking
mm-hmm.
in the world. 15.4 million are put into forced marriages. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine there's still forced marriage today?
It bothers me, but I am not surprised that it still happens. Unfortunately, I've spent enough time around certain Asian and Eastern people that I know that that kind of thing is still pretty commonly practiced. Unfortunately, even here in the States, I've heard of it happening.
Yes.
And it's funny because people, you might not really think about that as being a form of human trafficking or slavery when you first hear about it. You're just like, oh, forced marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, it's you're removing the person's choice about where they're going to be and who they're going to be with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it is by definition.
Well, what's interesting too about the forced marriage part is that they basically become sex slaves and labor trafficking slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're often, told they have to do all these things. So
mm-hmm.
When we went to high school, we knew people that were in arranged marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if any were put into forced marriage. I don't think so. I remember one girl that she was from, her parents were from Albania. And I remember her whole demeanor changed. She was married off by the time she was 17. She was a grade under me. And I just remember she suddenly wore the dress, the
hijab. I'm sorry. I don't remember.
Hijab?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's right. Habib is not right. That's
no,
the name.
That is not right.
So she wore like her entire body was covered. And she used to wear jeans and regular clothes. She was a sweet girl. And I had heard that by the time she graduated, she had a kid already. So I don't know her situation, but she looked so sad by the time she was married. And she seemed so happy until then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder, you know, maybe there was some form of something forced on her by her husband. I don't know.
And that was also before found out about any of this stuff and human trafficking,
but,
before you researched it.
You have a lot of child brides. You have people in China, for instance, that are forced in marriage. Or you have men because of the fact that there's not many women left in China. They will go to Vietnam and Laos and they will buy brides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big thing. That's part of forced labor. In my opinion, it is too. Like, it just when you think about what they have to do.
Right.
The rest would be put into sex labor. Forced labor also could include child soldiers, too.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's forcing somebody to do something they wouldn't do against their will.
Yeah. From these statistics, you see that forced labor is the highest amount of human trafficking in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's more of that today than any other type of trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Which surprises people.
Yeah.
Because they're like, what? People are still forced to work?
Mm-hmm.
What is this, the 1800s or, you know?
Yeah, we've heard that comment a few times.
Yeah, in our country, it's reversed. The sex trafficking is a lot higher than labor trafficking. There's about 20% compared. So 80% are put through sex trafficking in our country, while 20% about are in forced labor. So all the time I read about different labor trafficking issues in our own country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from mainly agricultural things, but you also have at carnivals.
Mm-hmm.
The workers, the handlers, massage parlors are sex trafficking, but they're also doing some labor there. Restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one restaurant that we drive by that's near us that I always think that there is labor trafficking involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch. The list is huge. But you think about how we get a lot of things from other countries because
we can get them cheaper that way.
Yeah. What's interesting, too, there are a lot of people that work in these countries where they'll live away from their family and they'll send the money and they don't make a lot. And they'll work 15, 16 hours. But you tell them, what if I started to boycott the company that you're forced to work for? With the horrible conditions that you work in, whatever, what would you do? And they'd be like, I'd have no job. My family will die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to starve. I'm going to have to sell my body.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that start to go on. So this brings up the question. If I'm not buying from slave labored companies, what will happen to the slaves under them?
Well, you just answered that if those companies were boycotted and they went out of business, then that job opportunity, even if it's not a fair one, is gone. So there are other things that the family members would have to resort to be able to make those ends meet. Like, we've talked about it in the past that, say, for instance, if we were to boycott some company that offers a manufacturing job somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know, can't think of any of the names in particular we may have brought up. But the point is, if we were to boycott those companies and those companies went out of business, then that job they would have been working unfairly in that production job would be gone. So they'd have to find something else. And oftentimes that would turn into like some kind of a sex job or something like that. Or who knows, some other kind of indentured servitude or even begging possibly.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously if it comes to that, it could even just be homelessness and starvation.
Yeah. So what's the solution to this problem?
Well, the one thing you can do is get together with people, friends and family, and you can write to the company and inquire about what kind of labor practices they employ. And if they're not willing to share, you know, what they are, it's probably less than good, mm-hmm. whatever the term should be, but probably unfair, and they don't want to disclose it. So it would be good to write to them and ask for them to consider changing what they're doing.
Yeah, because, you know, here's the thing. You are the one that they are concerned about. You're the one that gives them money,
right?
The company. So if you start bringing up an upheaval, then, you know, they better make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a lot of companies that have done changes because the consumer mm-hmm. has spoken.
And that's the difference between asking the government to go in and force them to change their practices versus the consumers themselves raising the question. Because obviously the companies, they're not out to sell product to the government. I mean, some of them probably are, of course.
Yeah.
But if the people that would buy their products start questioning it, they're going to make changes.
Yeah.
That's why I love, for instance, just a couple of years ago, Intel started their whole conflict-free program where they are advertising specifically things that are conflict-free and all these different processes that they started a few years ago.
Right.
To try to go to zero waste and to recycle more and, you know, to not be using materials from conflict zones.
Yeah. You think about the big name stores that carry lots of different products, like Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been known for their slave labor, and they've had lawsuits filed against them. But recently, they got really, really in trouble for having Fancy Feast that was slave labor mm-hmm. involved with their cat food,
mm-hmm.
where the shrimp was in Thailand being pulled out, and they saw the conditions of where these people lived in these ships and how long they would work. A lot of them died
mm-hmm.
and it was just really terrible. So people started to voice their concerns about it. So now Walmart, they only have seafood that is fair trade.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about fair trade and ethically sourced items.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
Well, what do the items do? Like, what are they? Do you know what they are?
Well, I know quite a few fair trade items. Particularly,
like,
you see,
what is fair trade?
Well, fair trade just means that the companies work with independent producers of their product or portions of their product to make sure that they are paid a fair wage for what they are producing. Mm-hmm. One of the main places that you'll see fair trade would be for food goods.
Yeah.
Most often. We always make the point about coffee that the coffee that I buy is always fair trade certified coffee.
Yeah. And it's really hard to get. There's an actual fair trade label, and it's really hard. You have a lot of background check that they do to get that label. And that one's expensive. There's also the B Corporation, mm-hmm. Where they're all about Gandhi's little quote, which mm-hmm. is,
be the change that you want to see in the world.
Yeah, so that's why they have it, B Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Fair Life. There's so many different labels where they explain to you, okay, there's direct trade, there's, what are the other ones? I'm trying to think.
Direct trade, cooperative trade, fair trade, we just mentioned.
Living wages.
Yes.
But
there's even another blankety blank trade term that I'm trying to think of, and I can't think of it right now. But the point is that there are different, they mean different things too, which we should specify that they're, you know, fair trade, for instance, implies a certain level of cooperation. I don't know what the right term would be, but there's a certain, it's a certain discussion that happened between, for instance, farmers and the company that makes it fair trade versus direct trade, which is, again, it's a different kind of discussion that they had as to the, how they are buying the product of the farmers.
Right, where the people that are doing the work, not just farms, but in general, the ones that are doing the work are being directly paid rather than the in-between man getting all the money and barely anything
doling
for
it out. Yes.
Yeah. So direct trade is actually the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Fair trade is good as well, but I think direct trade is the...
No, I agree, because it's
ethical.
Going, well, it's also going directly from, for instance, Intelligentsia Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
They are all direct trade with their farmers, with their coffee bean farmers. So Intelligentsia literally will go around to different farms in South America and stuff like that and buy the beans from the farmers directly and pay the farmers directly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other companies that are fair trade may go to some kind of a standards organization that knows where all these different farms are. They'll buy them, and then the other coffee company will buy the beans from this other company who already bought them from the farmers.
Mm.
So again, it's kind of semantics, but it's just a different explanation of the way that the fair wage is guaranteed to the farmers.
Yeah. So we shop fair trade and ethically produced items in direct trade and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty strict about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also into... If someone makes an item themselves, but still, again, where were the items sourced? I want to recommend The True Cost. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. You can watch it on Instant Play. It's amazing, and it gives so much great information and people that are survivors of being part of slave labor issues and those who are working against the consumerism to make things that are longer lasting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing that's kind of interesting.
Slow fashion and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing about fair trade and direct trade, which that's usually used as a term for more when you don't have a one-on-one relationship with the producer of your product.
Mm.
So, but there are other things where, I guess in some senses, you could call buying from a local producer of something direct trade. Like if we actually went to a local farm and bought from them. I don't know. I guess that would kind of count as direct trade.
You know what? That's like local farming, though. That would be. But, you know, this is more involved with those who are more vulnerable to becoming victims of slavery.
Yeah, well, that's why I said it's not really the same kind of thing. But going back to where...
we're all about local.
Exactly. That's where I was going to go with that, is that we're definitely... We love the idea of... homegrown, like small local businesses.
Yeah, like I make my own quilts. My sister-in-law makes candles.
Mm-hmm.
We have a friend that makes soaps and cards.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, I mean, if we had the ability to, I think that's probably where we would do our shopping for most things if we had the ability. We try to go to farmers markets as often as possible during the spring and summer and fall, where we try to get as much stuff from local farms when they're at the farmers markets.
Right.
Because it's just the whole idea of that's the community. Even if we don't necessarily know the farmers, we can't walk up to somebody at their stall and say, "Hey, Jim, how are you doing? You got any fresh corn today?"
Yeah.
But we know that they're people from the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can look at specific farm names. Like if they'll say like, "Oh, our farm is in Morristown." Like we know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the places around us. So we could, if we wanted to, even go to those places and see what they're doing.
Well, now so many people like these locally grown farms and such that you see at ShopRite, they have a whole
Jersey Fresh section.
Local farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh yeah, cool.
Well, because not only are you supporting local businesses, but it still comes back to when it's bought locally, they don't need all the preservatives to get it shipped from across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings in that whole other aspect of people wanting to eat more cleanly and healthy.
Right.
Without even getting into like the organic and GMO stuff.
Yeah. But let's go into more solid type of things that people would just buy. So this time of year, people are doing a lot of shopping.
Yeah.
It's hard to think about doing lists. Did you make lists ever growing up?
Probably.
For your Christmas list?
Probably.
I used to make lists, and you know...
Doesn't surprise me.
You know what I put on my list every year. Disco okay. ball. Never right. got one.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. I don't need it. But at the time, I was like, Mom, when are you going to actually get this disco ball? I put it on the list for 5 years straight, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? But the point is that that's the attitude that I had. Mm-hmm. That's the attitude a lot of people have is, I want this. This is the new thing, the best thing. Well, disco ball was kind of old for me because I was a little bit behind.
You don't fall under the, you never were the kind of person that wanted the latest and greatest.
Right. But there are a lot of people that are like, oh man, I really want this new purse that I hear is the best or whatever, mm-hmm. which I don't even own a purse, but I know girls are like that, mm-hmm. where they want a new purse. And so we know people that are companies that make purses from repurposed items or mm-hmm. whatever, or people that are fair trade. So in that case, it's like, okay, well, you're supporting someone who made that. But being a minimalist at the same time, I don't want people to just pile up. As an example, my organization had a big event where we had fair trade and ethical items for sale. Mm-hmm. And there's this one organization that they help people from addiction and sex trafficking. And they actually make the purses. And they actually are the ones that come and sell the items. Mm-hmm. And every year I hear people say, oh, I need a new purse from them. I buy one every year here. And we've had the event 3 years in a row now. Mm-hmm. And every year someone buys a new purse or two or three.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do they do with their old ones? Like, I mm-hmm. don't know what they do. Maybe they give them as gifts. Maybe they donate them. I don't know. As a minimalist, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around, oh, they just pile them up.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's a frustrating thing to think about, and that falls under the whole consumerism thing. It's interesting to think back just about how both of these things kind of went together for us. Because like we said, we definitely got more knowledgeable about human trafficking and fair trade and all that stuff, and that kind of led to us becoming minimalists, partly because it is kind of harder to find a lot of fair trade stuff sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it also just started to make so much sense that, well, we don't need to spend so much money. We don't need to worry about doing all of this hunting for fair trade if we're going to be downsizing. You know, it just kind of like led right. to it without even trying.
Now, in case people are curious about where they could buy items that are fair trade, like, well, what about my shoes? How are they made? I made a big list as a resources advisor. Huge mm-hmm. list. And I'm always updating it on my organization's website that we will link to this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole section about coffee. I have to make a tea section still. And then there's a section where it has just way too many different things. I got to break it down because it's too long.
What is the address for that in case somebody wants to just hear it on the recording instead of having to go to our post and find the link?
Right.
What is it? It's justice-network.org.
And then you would have to go...
Slash resources?
I don't
or
think
is it a
so.
Link? It is justice-network.org. You can go to /resources, but the best bet is to do what you said.
Which
and click
is,
on the yeah. the drop-down menu, which will give you the different sections, the subsections. If you go to just the resources page, it's kind of like a real quick overview.
Yeah, about what resources are.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's one that it says for the ethical buyer or consumer.
Ethical shopper or something like that.
For the ethical shopper, that's it. And so you would click that, and then it's broken down into sections like clothing. There's one where it's just like, has everything in one. So like Serve, for instance, is a company that has tons of different variety of houseware and clothing and whatever. So anyway, if you are interested in learning about that, go ahead.
You can actually find that list at justice-network.org/resources/fairtrade. And that's got the whole list of different companies or different product types where you can just find a whole bunch of listings. And
like I said, I always
you keep
update.
It updated. Yep. It, so
I just updated it last week with about 6 different things.
Mm-hmm. And I know every once in a while I find things and I tell you to add that to it.
Every month I'm updating it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do in regards to gifts for each other?
Well, I think during the course of the year, we normally will just discuss different things that we're interested in getting.
Yeah.
You know, if we'll just discuss stuff. And it's not that we're planning for Christmas time or for Hanukkah time or whatever to make these purchases. Just often, as we're saving up during the course of the year, this is where we end up with money that we will usually get bigger items if we do it. For instance, there's something that we were just talking about over the last day or two that I'm interested in saving up for, which we will probably be doing.
Yeah.
And we just did some stuff for the boys that we had been talking about for at least a year.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. That's the thing. We don't...
And we don't wrap them up and say, like, oh, no, I got you this.
We don't... And that's the thing.
It's
we
more
don't
like,
do
oh...
The point is we don't do surprises. We discuss things that we would like to get.
Well,
and we'll...
You did surprise me, though, this
Well, I did surprise you with something, yes.
Yeah. Which, because I run, which I haven't run in the cold, and mm-hmm. it's showing. mm-hmm. But I don't do well running in the cold. But when I do run again,
mm-hmm.
and even when I'm just around the house doing all my cleaning
chores
that I like to
stuff,
do,
yeah.
Rob decided to get me a pair of Listen earbuds. Now, Listen is another ethical company.
Mm-hmm.
And also, every time that you buy one of their
headphone/earbud sets,
they will actually help someone get hearing back, because mm-hmm. I'm really into finding hearing for deaf people. It's mm-hmm. a big heart thing of mine.
Yep.
So they make their own things, like wood. It's all wood.
Their headphones, yeah. They have wood-backed headphones made out of real wood.
Yeah.
They have quite a bit of different products nowadays. Yeah. They don't have just the headphones anymore.
And I this is my second headphone thing. My first one I broke apart because I'm so rough.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's why he got me these wireless ones for the Bluetooth, just because of the fact that I pull wires, because if I'm working, it gets pulled a lot and mm-hmm. I break things. So anyway, he surprised me with one of those that he bought with his Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And
but we had talked about getting you
earlier,
a set anyway.
Yeah, like last year I was mm-hmm. talking about it or whatever. But yeah, and he went and bought me one. He's like, because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, thank you. And I was like,
but again,
yay.
It's not something that was a surprise.
But you didn't
wrap it. But it wasn't like I wrapped it. I didn't make anything special. And it's not like I surprised you with it, like, oh, here you go. Like, I asked you which color of the choice you wanted.
You said, don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Pick a color.
But my point is, I didn't keep it a secret, really.
Yeah.
It's just that I surprised you with it.
Right.
That I made the decision to do it.
Right. But, you know...
Oh, and by the way, before we get too far away, Listen, you can check them out. I think they're just listn.com.
I think it's LSTN.
Oh, maybe it is just LSTN.com.
LSTN.com.
That's actually LSTNsound.co.co. So that's where you can find them at. They look like some excellent product. I know, like you said, this is your second set of buds that you've had from them. I know you enjoyed the last ones a lot.
I did.
And these ones, they seem like they're working out pretty well, so.
Yeah, I have fun. That's how I listen to my podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
While I clean and quilt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we don't do the typical gifting.
Nope.
It's just whenever throughout the year, if mm-hmm. we're like, oh, there's something that I know that they need that I think he'll like mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's always when there's a need for it.
Something with a purpose. We don't just right. get things just to have things.
Yeah.
Like you said, your earbuds, it was because you were going to use them. The other ones broke. The boys, we got them bikes because they outgrew the ones they had.
And they were hand-me-down
and
bikes.
Yeah, the bikes that we had for them. Well, the one wasn't. Micah's was not. That was a new bike.
Yeah.
But Lado's was secondhand, at
well,
least.
And they had them for a few years, and they outgrew them. And the mm-hmm. So, yeah, we bought them bikes at a local bike shop that they have a thing where you grow into your bike.
Yeah,
like
they
have
trade-ins.
And then you get a new one. It's really neat. They do free... maintenance.
Yeah, free tunings and repairs and things
brakes.
Like that, brake adjustments.
So I was like, wow, that's mm-hmm. really great. And we've known of this shop for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So that's another benefit too, just of buying local as opposed to like buying bikes from Amazon.
Yeah.
Is that we don't have the same kind of, you won't have the same relationship with the person who's selling you the bike.
Right.
And Amazon can't offer the same kind of services as these people do.
Right.
So it's just another point towards buying local, not necessarily the fair trade aspect.
And, you know, bringing the boys in to pick their bikes because I didn't know what size was appropriate for them.
Right.
And they were able to say, like, oh, they need this size right here. And then to have them sit on it, it was something that they definitely need. They just started this year riding without
training wheels or anything.
Yep. And, you know, they're older, too, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really important to us. We had been talking about it all year.
And we had even been talking about how you've been trying to teach Lado for a couple years now. And he finally got
7 years. Yeah. I tried to teach him how to ride a bike. And I spent the past 2 years dedicating myself to teaching him, like, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be 10, almost 11, and now he can ride.
That's the age I was when I started riding without training wheels, too.
Oh, okay.
But the point, though, is that this year they finally took, and they both love riding.
Yeah.
So we thought that it was appropriate that we would go and bring them somewhere where they could pick out their bikes and get them new bikes instead of hand-me-downs.
Yeah, and I think they'll last for a few years. Mm-hmm. At least Lado's, I think, will last for a few years. Micah, if he outgrows it in 2 years, we could trade in for...
We can do the trade-in thing. Yep.
Yeah. So we do buy gifts, just not the traditional way, and they have to be ones that we know are going to be used often.
Mm-hmm.
And something that has, like you said, purpose.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things a couple years ago that we noticed when we started changing to being fair trade purchasers was that it was kind of difficult to know whether what we were purchasing was good or not in that aspect. But I think over the last couple of years, it's probably gotten easier. I think people will probably report better about whether they are fair trade or not.
A lot of people know about human trafficking and they're more concerned than ever.
Yeah.
And as people continue to learn information, they mm-hmm. start to voice it more.
Yeah. Just for instance, a couple of the companies that I know off the top of my head that are fair trade companies that you may not think about when you do stuff would be Fruit of the Loom, right? We said that they are a fair trade company.
Hanes
is. A lot of textile companies that are from California
mm-hmm.
actually have to be fair trade certified in order to be a business operating out of California. So things like Hollister is iffy
because they're just starting to...
Okay, they're still like transitioning.
American Eagle is a little more... Like American Eagle, there is a grading system
okay.
for how well they have sourced. And mm-hmm. some of them are in the works.
Right.
So you have, for instance, American Eagle is a B. So mm-hmm. they're actually doing really well. But then you have companies that get Fs, like Victoria's Secret,
mm-hmm.
that have had issues since the 90s with lawsuits for their slavery in Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I actually do boycott companies like that. I will not buy from them, but I will report and constantly try to get people to sign petitions, mm-hmm. to try to contact the company to say, like, hey, I do like your products,
mm-hmm.
but there's so much slavery involved with that. And you don't treat the laborers well at all, and their conditions are terrible. Do something about it, and maybe I'll buy from you.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, no. I'm going to buy from Aerie because I trust them a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing I want to talk about is labels.
Mm-hmm.
Made in China, made in Bangladesh, made in India, made mm-hmm. in all of those, made in USA. So I want to just talk about this. People will not buy if it says made in China. Should right. they or should they not do that?
Well, that's silly because just because it says it's made in the USA doesn't mean that it's made fairly or ethically.
Right.
Most of the time, I think that when people say I only buy stuff made in America, is more of a national pride thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say at least a lot of the people that I've met, when they say that, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily actually have anything to do with quality or, like we said, ethicality of the production of the product.
I want to state why this can also be an issue. Not just like, I know your reasoning is thinking, okay, but they might not have sourced it in the process
mm-hmm.
and they made it and they made it and manufactured it here,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean it's ethically sourced. But there's another issue that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
To get a made in USA product, they might have, for instance, Guam, the American Samoas, those different little islands that we own,
mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico, they will have these factories and these companies where they don't have good working conditions at all.
But they can list it as made in the USA because they're a commonwealth or something like that.
Because we own that country and they're a part of us, they get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't automatically trust made in USA.
Mm-hmm.
As for the ones, the other countries that are typical, made in Taiwan and all that, you can, it's the same thing. Sometimes made in China doesn't mean that their factory workers aren't being paid fairly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There are some companies that will work really well with the factories and the conditions and paying fairly to the people that work there and treating them well. They get made in China because that's where they live.
Because that's what it is. Yep.
So don't judge the label right away. You've got to actually judge the company.
Yeah. So that's the thing, I guess, to kind of wrap this discussion up a little bit, is that it goes back to what we said a couple times in the last few episodes, is that our point of being minimalists is to make our life simpler and to help make other people's lives better.
Yeah.
Through our choices that we're making. And sometimes that takes more work. Like you said, like we have to do a little more research sometimes to find out if these companies are actually ethical or not.
Mm-hmm.
And to find out, like you said, something might be manufactured in one place, but the parts, the components of that may be from some other place where maybe they're not ethically sourced.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to do that research to find out all of those different aspects. But the whole point of why we do that is because we want to see that people are treated fairly in the same way that we would want to be treated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really kind of why we focused on fair trade in our simplicity and minimalism.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to make you feel guilty if you buy from these other stores. So one of the books that I did read and get my information from states that if you still buy from these slave labor companies, you are at least providing, even if it's not much, you are still providing for these people that are poor. But I do suggest you reaching out to these companies and searching out what their quality is like for the life of the people.
Like we said early on, you know, if you were to boycott these companies and make them shut down, you may be subjecting those people to something worse than what they're doing there.
Right.
So as much as we may not like it, you know, supporting those companies sometimes can still make life better for people, even if it's still not to our standard of fairness.
Mm-hmm. If you see that it has a fair trade logo, you know right away, oh, this is great. And I know what's going to happen. So I feel like I'd rather my money go to something that's really going to fully help someone rather than maybe partially.
Mm-hmm.
So like, while I just mentioned Aerie, their B rating, I'd rather give my money for underwear at Pact, which is completely fair trade, organic and everything. Vegan, I think, to cruelty free.
Yeah. Well, that's the other side of it too, is that we only mentioned a couple of like the really big popular names like that you would see at malls. But there are other companies, like you just mentioned Pact or Everlane, which I believe we mentioned in a previous episode. They're smaller companies that are primarily web-based, or they may have one or two stores. I know that Everlane has their store in LA, and I think they might have one in New York.
Mm.
If not, they were planning on doing one. So,
go to their website and you see their factories.
Yes, you can actually get small video tours of their factories where the people that run the company will actually go to those places and work with the factories that they're going to employ. And they actually will go through a whole process of discussing what those factory workers, what are they best at making. So they may make t-shirts from one factory because those people are best equipped to do that. And they may make pants at a different one because they're more fit for doing that. And so just bringing that up to make the point that even if you look at Aerie where it's a B rating, there probably is something else that's even better, like you said, Pact.
Yeah.
But you just have to do a little bit more research into it and to find out, you know, if you want to make the effort to be that focused on fair trade and to be more ethically and a more ethical purchaser, there is information out there to find it.
Yeah. And that's why I'm offering some assistance with my list.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. There's the Justice Network list. But of course, even sending us a comment or a question, you know, through any of our contact stuff,
Yeah.
We will be more than happy to help out and try to point people in other directions. Yeah. And if you maybe want to know about a company, maybe we can help you try to figure out mm-hmm. what's fair or not.
Yeah. Because I've been researching companies for a few years now. Mm-hmm. It's part of what I do. So if I could help you out, I'm more than happy to do so.
As usual, you can find all of our information at simply-us.net. I won't go through the whole list of everything else.
Yep.
But just making the point that that's where you can go to find out about us.
And if you listen to us through iTunes or Apple or whatever it is, iTunes, right?
Yeah, the iTunes podcast thing, whatever. Yeah.
Please, please leave us a review because we could use some more because they actually have, if you get at least 5 ratings, mm-hmm. that you come up more easily in their system.
Yep.
And we only have 3 and have had these 3 since August. Yeah. And so it'd be great to have at least 2 more. That's my goal, is 2 more ratings through mm-hmm. there. So yep. please help us with that.
Yeah, that'd be much appreciated.
Yeah. Thank you so much and have a great week.
Yep. Bye-bye.